Welcome back to the Life on Target podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Spearing, recording this episode live from my barn because we had a heck of a week in construction, real estate, and the weather has been just fighting us. So I'm here. But as you can see above me, we got some more insulation installed and actually has some pretty studio quality sound up in here, even though it's just the onboard organic microphone on my laptop. I listened to a great podcast between Eric Kahn and Michael Foster discussing the state of masculinity, the church, and men not being there to where they should be, not having sage pastors and things that are pointing out how to walk the road. And Michael Foster, around the 41-minute mark, I'll link the show in the show notes here, mentioned that boys are looking for men that teach them how to have physical ability, how to make money, buy things, have assets, start businesses, run productive households. They want to be respectable. They want to have gravitas, and they also want to be told the truth. They want people to shoot them straight. And why a lot of even jellyfish pastors just really can't do any of that for young men, and why some of the secular men are doing so much better job discipling our youth because they're willing to speak straight up bold truths to men. They're teaching them practical things, how to excel in life. So I thought I'd take a little stab at it myself here, specifically talking about how to make money. And I want to give a quick once over my entire history, money-making history, where I started, how I learned, my work ethic, and hopefully give you some conversation pointers to discuss with your son. Also, if you're a young man trying to figure out what to do, I want to be respectable. If you make money and you start businesses and you run yourself, you have dominion over yourself, your physical ability, your spiritual, mental, emotional state, you're going to be respectable. And you're going to get a woman too. God's going to bring her around. And so anyway, let's start with making money. So I started working when I was 5 years old. I would cut the middle part of our grass because I couldn't really do around the trees, around the edges, because I had a really hard time pulling the self-propelled mower back at age five. But I think I got about $4 to cut the front yard. When I was 6 or 7 years old, I started cutting the neighbor across the street's yard. I started cutting the backyard. So I worked up to about $15 a week at age 6 or 7 years old. When I was 13, we moved to a house that had 3 bedrooms. My mom was pregnant with the 7th child. Dad and I added 1,700 square feet. I got $1.50 an hour on Saturdays. Eventually got a raise to $2 an hour. I got a work permit, started at 14, where I could ride with my dad to work, start working for my dad's software company. I was allowed to do up to 4 hours a day. And then in the summers, I could go full time. So I'd start working. I'm pretty sure during the summer when I was 15, I was riding with my dad to work. I was working all day. When I was 15, I bought a car and got my license at 16, started swimming. And I'll bring that up just to talk about how athletics and working, one of them had to go and why. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. So through my sophomore and junior year, I would go to 5 a.m. practices every day of the week except for Wednesdays. I'd drive over to my dad's office. I'd do my school till about lunch. Then I'd work 3 or 4 hours in the afternoon. And I remember barely making enough to pay gas and insurance and stuff at that time, because I covered it all myself. And my dad sitting me down and saying, "Son, you're 16 years old, and one of your primary things you need to be doing right now as a 16-year-old is make money. And you're allowed to work 20 hours a week. Why aren't you maxing those hours out? Why aren't you getting it done?" And essentially, I got on the gas. And I think for the rest of my junior year, probably sophomore year, I got 18 to 20 hours a week of paid work. I started out at $4.25. I think that was the minimum wage. Maybe it was $4.10. And then eventually, I worked up to $7.50 an hour, I believe. And continued doing that until graduating high school. My junior year, my dad sat me down and basically said, "Son, you're swimming 40 hours a week, and I know that you're improving, and I love watching you swim. I love watching you win, but the reality is we don't know you're going to get a full ride scholarship, and even if you do, it's probably going to be worth less money than a full-time job and require more time. So I think you should quit. And we had a discussion with my coach, and my junior year of high school, I stopped swimming. And that's probably one of the most painful unknowns to not have realized, to have stopped swimming and not know how fast I actually could have gotten. I had a top three in the Southeastern United States 100 freestyle time. I was almost at senior national time qualifying. But honestly, y'all, I probably wouldn't have been an Olympian. I probably wouldn't have been a NCAA champion. And I am really happy with where I end up in life and thankful that my dad sat me down and had me make a principled decision to forego athletics, even though it's glorious, etc. Now, I enlisted in the Army and got 1,356.90, I think, was my paycheck when I first enlisted. And I really wish that I would have known that I could buy houses when I was in the military younger. Even though I wasn't getting allowance for housing, I probably could have afforded a house payment, even as a private living in the barracks, because you get to eat at the chow hall, you don't have any bills. And I wish I would have bought real estate earlier. But unfortunately, I didn't buy my first house till I was 26. I bought it for $165,000. Barely qualified for the loan because my wife and I were like 30 days late on making a $10 payment on a credit card that had $500 balance on it. So my credit score was all jacked up. But because I worked for the military, the bank still lended to us. So we put 20% down on that $165,000 house. And over 2.5-3 year period, I added $100,000 of value to that house. We sold it. We bought a duplex. We, I think, tripled the value of that in 3 years, cashed that out, bought the mansion, made the mansion worth three times what we bought it for in another 3 years. And the whole time I was working in the military or starting the construction business when we bought the mansion as I got out. And now we're doing six figures in real estate, and we're doing almost $1 million in construction at a good profit margin. And I'm just getting warmed up. I'm just getting focused. I'm just getting things figured out. So once over our full thing, but one of the things that I think would say is starting at about 13 years old until now, I understand that there's 6 days you shall labor, and one day is a Sabbath and a solemn rest unto the Lord. Not if you work 5 days pretty hard, but not really that hard, then you're entitled to just lay around on Saturday and do it. I have added value to real estate every single Saturday. Every single Saturday. My wife may listen to this podcast. There's been a couple Saturdays that I slouched off on that. But almost every single Saturday for 13 years. January 20, 2010 was our first house. And now, you know, even look at this barn. We're putting insulation in, plumbing, commercial sink over there. Sometimes I wonder why I'm doing it so much when I got plumbers and electricians. But so being the technician, being the guy that's hands-on, it's hard sometimes to let that habit die and just hire people and keep yourself focused on high value add activities. So it's something I'm working on. That's why I got a coach. That's why I'm growing there. But anyway, if you can cultivate a work ethic and you can work 6 days a week and you can log 10 hours a day, plus or minus, not this week, 7 hours, 53 minutes that the majority of Americans do, but work 10 hours, you know, I'm waking up at 5, I'm getting to the office at 6, I'm getting back home at 5, where I'm working 10, 11 hours a day. Not all of it on the same thing. That's the other thing. I'm doing high value add tasks in the morning. There's meetings. There's long lead kind of stuff. There's podcast generation stuff. There's a bunch of stuff going in there it's new and fresh. And so it's not just mindlessly slaving away at one particular task. I'm trying to grow. I'm reading books. I'm trying to expand my knowledge and do that. That comes later. When you're young boy, you need to be able to suck it up. you do hard things. And that is one example of how we're doing that is one of my sons is digging a 280-foot trench from our well down to our barn so we can bury the plumbing line. And he's not happy about it, honestly, sometimes. He gets a little bit whiny about it. And that's why I had to sit him down and I look him in the eye and say, son, this is literally training you to be a man. The dirt is hard. It hurts. You have to work. It looks like you're never going to get done because it's 280 something feet. And you make a line on the ground and you do 20 feet. And he's doing 20 feet every Saturday. And he's digging 18 inches out. And I'm paying him $1 a foot. And he's going to make almost $300. And he's not happy about it. But I am telling him this is literally his lesson today is to suck it up and dig this ditch. And if you got sons and you're not making them work, now I think it's also very helpful to teach them how to leverage time and make more money, how to hire people, how to charge a margin on top of them, how to solve complex problems that only certain people can solve and charge a premium for that, how to subcontract out people that can solve that problem. That's why I like general contracting. I'm piecing together 50 different skills and merging them all together and charging markup on every bit of it. And a lot of it happens during the day while I'm doing other things, while I'm selling the next job, while I'm figuring out how to get more people in our Airbnbs, all the different things that I'm able to focus on while there are 15, 20 people all over town working for me. And that's the entrepreneur side. That's the business owner side. That's coincidentally the next point Michael Foster talks about. Maybe we'll have another episode on that, even though we've talked about it. But anyway, work ethic, get the skills, push through 6 days a week until you die. And you will be successful. You will be respectable. Hopefully this was at least a little bit informative, even though it was last minute coming to you from a barn. As always, if you got some value from this, share it with someone. Pick a young man that maybe is out there struggling. Maybe he's got a crappy haircut and no sense of style and thinks that he's just going to have a bad attitude in his way to getting a hot date and having her want to marry him. How about you tell him, check out Life on Target podcast episode, How to Make Money and Learn How to Actually Become Respectable and Get a Girl and Bring Her into the Mission because you're getting after it and you're working hard and invite her into that. And see what happens. So share it with a friend. Sit down and listen with your son. As always, have a good one.